can't believe another week has gone by. When you listen to this, it'll be, what, Sunday the 7th of June. We're hammering through the months. Thought I'd do that too quickly. We'll be at Christmas before... Oh, no, I mustn't mention that. Hi, I'm Ray with yet another podcast episode. This time about what we used to call foreign students coming over to stay with host families. Now, these foreign students, they were a great bunch. I used to love it. There were coach loads of them that would arrive at our local station. They'd all park outside the station. In the street, everywhere, there were literally hundreds of students from Spain, France, wherever. What you do is find one of the people with a clipboard and give your name and address, and they'd say, right, we'll find your students for you. And, they'd find a couple. You'd load all their suitcases into the boot of your car and take them back to your house. And as I said, I used to love it because they were interesting people. You know, they'd ask about their country, what their school was like, what their parents did for a living. It was great, especially at meal times, all having a chat about things in your own country. Of course, they had a lot of questions about the way we lived and what we did. And I loved it all. And the money, actually, I mean, I didn't do it for the money, but the money was particularly good. I'm going back, how long am I going back to? I can't remember. 90s, I suppose, in the 90s, the 80s. The money was pretty good. I don't know what it's like now, but I know that the students still come over and stay with host families in the UK. But it was very well paid back then. And all you had to do, basically, was provide a room and their food. And, you know, the hot water and whatever. But, adding another couple of people at the meal table really didn't cost a great deal. And that's one of the points I want to come to. Now, whatever system you've got, whatever it is, there's always someone that will abuse it. And I knew this couple. They had a big house. They had 5 bedrooms. So they had 4 spare bedrooms. And what they do each year, each summer, they would fill the house with students. And the money was excellent. With, imagine 4 rooms with a couple of students in each room. It was excellent. They fed the students. They gave them a room. They gave them a bed. They had the use of the bathroom. They did all that properly. But it wasn't in the spirit of having students. For example, I remember the woman when she first started talking about it to me. This was before I'd had students. She was saying, why don't you have students? The money's really good. And, it's not a lot of work. And she said, what I do is I'll get a cornflakes box, a packet of cornflakes, Kellogg's cornflakes, the decent branded make. And she said, what I do is take the cornflakes out and stick some cheap cornflakes in the Kellogg's box. And I said, well, why do that? She said, well, you save money. A couple of pounds for a box for the Kellogg's. You buy the cheap own brand supermarket ones and they could be half the price. She said, so you put those in the Kellogg's box. And I said, oh, I see. So you save a few pennies. Oh, yeah, she said, but that's not the only thing you do it with. She obviously had no shame. She'd buy the cheapest so-called fresh orange juice that she could find and put it into a glass jug on the breakfast table so it looked all good. But what she didn't say to the students is that she'd watered it down. So half of it was water. And I said, well, surely that didn't taste very nice. She said, well, no, obviously it wasn't that good, but it looked good on the table, a big jug of fresh orange. And she said if they wanted it topped up, she'd go into the kitchen and put a bit more water in it. There we are. I mean, it's awful, really, isn't it, when you think about it? We never did anything like that. You know, when we had students, we tried to do it properly. Well, I say try, we did do it properly. We bought decent fresh orange juice, the orange juice that we had, the Kellogg's cornflakes that we had. Didn't go and buy some cheap box of cornflakes and tip them into the Kellogg's box. I mean, that's an awful thing to do. And she said also that she'd buy bread. She would buy what we call bird bread. I still call it bird bread. It's the ultra cheapest bread you can find in a supermarket. I mean, it's okay, but, I don't think it's okay, actually. It's awful stuff. It's disgusting. But we buy it for the birds. The birds love it. But she bought this for the students, the cheapest possible bread. She'd get home from a shopping trip, and then while no one was around, swap packets over, even butter and biscuits. You know, she'd buy a cheap pack of biscuits, the cheapest possible, and put them into a biscuit tin so no one actually knew what they were. They didn't know, you know, they thought they were a decent make of biscuit. Well, they thought that until they tasted them. But absolutely everything. And she even watered down the milk a little bit. Not a lot, because you can't water milk down too much. But she said she even watered the milk down. The cheapest tea bag she could find, the cheapest coffee, basically the cheapest everything she could find, she bought for the students. And where she could, put them in expensive packets. She felt quite proud, I could tell by the way she was telling me. She was quite pleased with herself. She thought it was some sort of achievement. She reckoned, I forget the figure, but she saved quite a few pounds every week on feeding the students. Personally, I thought it was dreadful. As I said, when we had students, we did it properly. We would give them a lift into town. We'd pick them up, especially the younger ones, if they were sort of 14, 15. You know, we'd say, OK, go into town, but we're going to pick you up at 10, because you know, we were responsible, obviously, for these kids. We were responsible. Whereas this woman, she just gave them a front door key and said, do what you like. Of course, they were getting home at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. She didn't care. When I say we were responsible, I suppose we weren't responsible when they were out of the house, but we felt responsible and we wanted to do it properly. The funny thing is, all this backfired on this lady. They went to Spain, her and her husband went to Spain every year. And it just so happens that a couple of these Spanish girl students they had, they lived just down the road from this hotel that this lady and her husband stayed in. And they got talking and she said, oh, you know, we stay in so-and-so hotel, we go there every year. And the girl said, well, we live just down the road, you know, 100 metres or so from the hotel. So, of course, the next time they went to Spain, they met up with the girls. The girls took them to the families. And the whole thing backfired because this lady and her husband, they were invited round to one of the girls' houses and they had a meal there. They said, oh, stay for a meal. The girls' parents couldn't speak English, but the girl said, you know, stay for a meal. My mother would like you to stay. And the meal was disgusting. Now, what had happened was this student, she told her parents that the food was disgusting. And it was obvious that everything had been watered down. It was the cheapest of the cheap. And she told her parents this. And this really is karma, isn't it? When this couple went to have a meal with the girl and her parents, they had disgusting food. Everything was watered down. Apparently they had a glass of wine. They said, oh, help yourselves to wine. And there was a wine bottle on the table. They poured a glass of wine each. The wine was watered down. And of course, if you put wine with water, it tastes awful. Well, I assume it does. I've never tried it. I don't like wine. The couple, they're looking at the other people's food, the parents' food and the girls' food. And it was obvious that they had decent food. And on their plates was this horrible stuff. And it all ended up, they all laughed about it because the girl, the student, explained. She said, yeah, I know what you gave us when we stayed with you. So we thought we'd do the same because they were highly embarrassed. This woman was highly embarrassed. Her husband, well, I don't think he was ever in on it. He didn't really want to know about all this sort of conning and trickery that went on. But it all ended up as a bit of a joke. They were good friends and they see them now every year. The last time I spoke to the woman, she said, yeah, you know, we still go out there every year. And in fact, they don't always stay at the hotel. They'll stay at the girl's house. So all's well that ends well. But it was a pretty despicable thing to do. But this lady wasn't the only one. You know, I met other people because we had students. You get to know some of the other people that take in students. And quite a few of them did this sort of thing. It was awful, really. I remember hearing something on the TV about, this has nothing to do with it, but about children evacuated in the war. You know, they'd go out to the countryside, they'd stay at farms, houses out of London, you know, away from the bombing. And they were given dreadful food. The people would take the kids' ration books, you'd get all the food, and then give them basically scraps, while the rest of the family sat there with decent food. You know, it's awful. I don't know why people are like that. I don't know, it's something to do with human nature. But you know, I wasn't at all impressed with this woman, the way she did that, and the other people I spoke to. I remember one of them said that, the students are always wanting a lift into town or or a lift to wherever. We won't do it. We're not wasting our petrol. You know, that's the wrong attitude, totally, surely. I used to help the students with their English because I taught English as a foreign language. So it was a great advantage to them because they were staying with me, an English teacher. They bring their homework to me for help because they were having lessons during the day. Most days they had lessons, English lessons, wherever they went. And they'd get homework, and if anything they were stuck with, they'd come to me. I'll tell you about my experiences of teaching English as a foreign language another time. There are one or two funny and perhaps some strange incidents to relate there, but that's for another time. But it was a great help. We did everything to help them. If I went to stay with a family in another country, you know, I would obviously expect them to look after me and to feed me properly, not purely just to try and make some quick cash out of my staying at their house. That's totally wrong. There were some students that I heard about that weren't too good. Some weren't at all interested in learning English. They had parents that were fairly well off, and they just came over here. They had their money to spend, and they didn't even bother to attend the English classes. And of course, their parents were told about this by the organisation or whoever. But you know, they didn't care. In fact, there were half a dozen students that had gone missing. There was quite a lot of trouble about it. The police were contacted. They'd gone up to London, and they stayed up in London for a couple of days. They were gone, was it one or two nights? They'd gone up to London. They got on the train and got up there. They had money with them, and they just went partying and drinking and whatever else they did. So, you know, they weren't all keen little pupils to, you know, keen on learning English. They weren't all extremely well behaved. Some of them were pretty naughty, to be honest. For the people that were looking at it purely as financial gain, I remember them saying that it's no good having one or two students. You need at least four, five, six, preferably more. The more the better, because to be honest, if you're cooking a meal for three people, four, five, six, it's not a lot of difference, is it? You're doing the meal anyway. You just chuck a bit more whatever into the saucepan or the pot to spread it out between more people. If you're letting out one room for students, well, why not let out two or three? It's not a lot more work, but it is quite a lot more money. Houses were vetted. You know, you did have a visit before you had students, apart from the regulars. They knew their regulars, but any newcomers that applied to have students, they were vetted. People went round, had a look at the room where the students would be staying, had a look at the kitchen, and chatted to the people to see what sort of people they were, whether they were suitable. Because these days, it's totally different. The Czech CPR checks or whatever it is. Obviously, very, very different these days. Everything is checked for the student's safety, obviously. Back then, apart from a quick visit to the house, just have a look round. Oh, yeah, that's all right. That's the bedroom they'll be staying in. That's fine. OK, you're on our list. And that was it. I do remember there were some students that were moved because they complained. There were a couple of girls, I remember, I heard about. They were sleeping on the floor, mattresses on the floor, in the children's room. There were a couple of kids, and they put the students on the floor in the children's room. Of course, that's not at all appropriate. You can't do that. And the students were moved, and the people didn't get their money, which is fair enough, isn't it? What we used to do on the last day the students were with us, or the last evening, they're home tomorrow, we'd take them out to a local restaurant, and you know, we'd treat them to a meal. We had a lovely French restaurant, it's probably gone now, near to where we lived. So if we had French kids, we'd take them to, well, I say kids, you know, early teens, mid-teens, we'd take them to this French restaurant. And of course, the people that ran it spoke French, obviously they were French, and they loved it. And there was a Spanish restaurant fairly near to where we were. I forget where that was now, the Spanish one. You don't find many Spanish restaurants, but we took the Spanish students there on their last night with us. And yeah, we paid for the whole lot, which I thought was the way to do it. But obviously, a lot of other people didn't think the way that I did. So there we are. That's just a quick look at foreign students staying with host families in the UK while they learn English. I've always been amazed at how many people learn to speak English from these countries, you know, from Spain and Germany, France, wherever. They all seem to speak English. We were taught French at school. Well, they tried to teach us French. We weren't interested. I don't know what the difference is between kids in, say, France or Spain and kids in England. I mean, they don't seem to be interested, or not in my day anyway. Perhaps I'm being unfair. Perhaps today it's different. But in my day, they tried to teach us French and none of us were interested. In fact, they gave up after a while. After a few months, we didn't have French class anymore. They just gave up because no one was interested. None of us bothered, which now, of course, looking back, I feel is a great shame. I'd love to be able to speak French or Spanish. But there we are. Such is life. C'est la vie. Yes, that's it, isn't it? C'est la vie. Anyway, hope you've enjoyed this episode. I will talk about my experiences as a teacher of English, teaching English as a foreign language. That was good fun. Trips to London on the coach with the students, various things going on there. I might give that some thought for a future episode. Hope you've enjoyed this one. As always, take care. I shall see you next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.